You're a chicken butt and you got mad boogers in your nose.
Welcome back to Each Other's Mothers. We are here with a very special guest this afternoon, morning, evening. The sun is out.
Yes.
It's actually out. The sun is sunning.
The sun is sunning.
It's sunning pretty well. I'm like, just let us be depressed.
Why?
I don't know.
Are you feeling my feelings? You slipping into it a little bit?
No, I'm actually climbing out of it very well.
It's the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. And all the therapy.
And all
the acceptance and the freedom and the peace that I'm feeling in my heart and my soul.
And the celibacy.
And that part, 100%.
Yes.
Yeah. Still happening. Can you believe it?
I can believe it.
Really?
Yeah, I can believe it.
You just called me ugly. That's fucked up.
I know. I'm sorry.
We got motherfucking Bruce Peitsch.
Yes, indeed.
In the building.
Thank you. Finally.
Did I do it?
You did it.
Oh,
you knocked it out of the fucking park.
So Polish.
I was about to ask you how to pronounce Peitsch before, because we had another guest and I pronounced their name incorrectly.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do my research.
Does it haunt you at night?
It does haunt me at night, especially
with,
since she was
Sam Rager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was 100%.
Well, she's sweet as pie, so
she seemed like such a rager that it had to have been.
Right. Yeah. Again, just angry inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Don't you
think
so?
What about you?
Outwardly chill.
What about you? Where's Peitsch come from?
Peitsch is a Polish last name, and then when my great grandparents came over, when they came into the country, instead of it being like Peitsch Lolowski or some long Polish thing, they just hacked off the majority of it and just ran with Peitsch.
What kind of trade work were they doing back then, your family?
Pierogies?
Oh, I
hope so.
Farming.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, your last name didn't change to Farmer, so that's good.
Nope.
Because that's a whole thing that happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose. But we're just some country farmers that kind of came into, modern civilization. And then from there just sprawled generations of vagabonds and alcoholics and factory workers.
We love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually how it works, though. Like, if you end up doing a lot of hard manual labor, or if your ancestors do, then it's inevitable that you'll be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only other Polish person that I knew was my uncle Mark, and he died of a heroin overdose. So here we are.
Oh,
you know,
mm-hmm.
One of your kinds, probably related to you, honestly.
What are my kinds? What, drugs?
No, I said one of your kinds.
Oh, one of my kinds.
One of your
kinds.
Yes.
You people, you fucking addicts with your fucking farmer Polish ass fucking tendencies.
Yeah.
One of y'alls.
Mm-hmm.
So who fucked you up? Who are you mad at? You mad at your mom?
I'm no longer mad at anybody.
For the longest time, I
didn't know who I was mad at. Really, I think the majority of shit that I was mad at was society as a whole, the status quo, the bullshit idea of an American dream. Just go to college.
Yeah.
If you graduate college, everything's going to be fine. I don't know, just this world of the do these things, get married, get the family, get a job, work these things, and like you're going to have this great life. And that was just not what I was seeing, and I was still trusting it. And then as I approached that actual thing, I'm like, this isn't it. And I'm in some bullshit version of it, and I fucking hate it, and I fucking hate myself, and I'm mad at everybody for telling me that this was the thing. So,
yeah.
Wow.
As far as, like, you know, family and all that, like, after I got sober, you know, you work these... I'm in AA, right? So you work these steps and you have to go through this personal inventory and you just spill out and write every fucking thing that you are mad at. People, places, things, everything, no matter what it is. I mean, I had shit on there from kindergarten. I had pages and pages on specific people.
Where's your page?
What do you mean? One he wrote one about me?
Yeah.
Oh, nah, dude.
Not
Bruce,
yet.
Bruce and I are bros.
No.
We're just a couple of jabronis.
Not that. Well, and then that's another thing. Like, after you have that whole process, then one of these later steps is that when shit goes on in your life in the now, Like if I feel an issue with somebody or if I have wronged somebody, I like when I reflect on my day, if that's how I feel, mm-hmm. then I have to make that right as soon as possible. Otherwise, mm-hmm. I'm going to continue to have a resentment and that resentment's going to billow inside of me and grow into bigger. And then I'm going to lash out and try to hurt other people by destroying myself.
Wow. Next thing you know, you're sucking dick in the parking lot for some coke. That's we it. Can't
it's
have
not
that.
Even no. coke, just like cigarette, just, whatever, yeah. follow your lighter. Oh, hey, I got your lighter.
Thanks, dude. Look at that. Fucking pockets. I'm going to start calling y'all pockets Boom. Around what? Here. Jody can't even look me in the eye. She stole my fucking lighter last night in the car.
Damn.
I said, this is the last time I give two addicts a fucking ride anywhere.
Yeah. We will pocket that lighter.
I know, bro.
Yeah, you put up that taquito. I was like, I'll take that.
It's like, I can't do drugs, so I'm just stealing instead.
Exactly. Just to feel the rush, yeah. you know? Jody was like, I'm going to see this bitch tomorrow anyway. I just yeah. want to feel something. It says Las Vegas on it, too. It's a dope-ass lighter.
It is. Clicks.
It's a good one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't fucking look at it for too long. All right, cool. So I tried to figure out if you had a dead parent, but you said no, but dead to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my biological dad, all around kind of shitty guy, absent dude, and
it's a dad thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, he was who he was, you know, alcoholic, pimp, drug dealer, woman beater, all these things that. It was like, there was just things, racist, there's just things about him that, like, as a child,
Snuck that one in.
I was like, FYI.
That's like a great A man.
Sandwich that
they
in
don't
just,
make him like that anymore,
but that was
you know?
Most of his worries, the racism. 100%. Like, if you had to pick one, I'd pick a racist over an alcoholic. Or, no, I don't know. I think I might pick
Personally,
an alcoholic
I'd
over a
I'd pick a
racist.
Woman beater, but that's just me.
Yeah. You know, sometimes...
Now that I'm dating bitches, I'm like, hey, I get it, dude. I get it.
I get frustrated, too.
Yeah.
Have your father beat your woman for you.
Yeah, if I could find him. Hell yeah, I'd hire him
you
right
find your
real
dad
quick.
Or a woman?
Both. Shit. Telling you, celibate. 2025, I'm opening the books and these legs. Anyway, continue That's about your dumbass dad.
Well, you know, just an absent guy, just very selfish and self-seeking without really realizing that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think he was really aware. It was just kind of what he knows and didn't want to make any other decisions of that. You know, he's a Marine, a vet, so he holds that level of pride, right?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I served my country, so, like, I'm deserved all of this. And, you know,
that's wild.
Yeah. And it's just, and that's just, that's how he was. Like, I don't know. Think of the epitome of peaking in high school.
Sure.
Right.
Was he mad at his dad?
I don't know. I don't think so. He shouldn't be. My grandpa was I love my grandpa. I love that man.
Yeah.
And he tried to be as helpful as he knew how to my dad, and you know, it's quite possible it was more enabling shit than anything.
Okay, for sure.
But again, these are just people just trying to do the best they can with what they know.
Yep.
So I don't, it's like I'm not angry like at him anymore or anything like that. Like I have my peace with it, but at the same time, like, I get to choose the level of engagement that I want to have with somebody. And after repeated times of like, look, man, do whatever the fuck you want to do in your life. You want to get blacked out drunk. You want to fucking crash cars, crash motorcycles, and fucking get into fights, blah, all that shit. Like, cool. But for like the hour, you're going to see me just be sober. And then as soon as I leave, fucking chug away.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's an alcoholic, man. Couldn't do it. And I don't blame him for that. Just a sick man. That's all.
Yeah. And you know that too, because you went through it yourself, right?
Yeah.
And now you're a dad.
Yeah. Been a dad
for
a little while now.
You're a cool dad though.
Mm-hmm. I try to be.
You're a sober dad. We like sober dads.
We love
sober
a sober dad.
Dad.
Yeah. I've never heard of one of those, but it seems like a really crazy concept that I could get into.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And your kid's
it's
like
fun.
Doing good shit. Good
yeah,
in school,
yeah.
killing it,
killing
athlete.
It. Yeah, athlete, all that stuff.
You love to see it.
Yeah,
truly.
Just a very, very, healthy and mature child, a complete 180 of me.
Yeah.
I was like capable of those things and I did those things, but was still a vagrant in doing it. I thought it was even like, it was like cooler, like watch me ace this test on acid.
Oh,
like, huh?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But like completely missing the point that you're supposed to like retain knowledge and stuff like that. So it was all just like living for brief moments of like, ta-da.
Well, yeah. That's and why then I didn't on retain any information.
That's
experience.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense now.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm having epiphanies. I took the ACTs on mushrooms without a graphing calculator. That's my claim to fame.
Oh wow, that's impressive.
That is impressive.
Yes.
I scored
a 27, which is like average, but I feel like on drugs with no calculator, that's pretty good.
That's really good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's gotta
impressive
be
impressive shit right there.
Could you see like the graphs and the numbers just like in the ether?
Yeah, I was like, it was like, what's his name? Rain Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
Apple
me.
Vision before Apple Vision. Yes. You're there like.
They're like, what is she doing? Kid next to you is like, let her cook.
Meanwhile, that kid wasn't really there.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Nope, sure wasn't. Sure wasn't. Do you have siblings, Bruce?
I don't, only child.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Samesies.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, kind of. I have a half brother that's 9 months older than me, and then a little sister who I've never met. But I know my half brother because we found each other on the internet, and we've been friends for like 4 or 5 years now.
Shout out the internet. That's cool.
Shout out Facebook, Metaverse.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, here we are.
Excellent.
He lives in Miami.
Did you ever wish you had siblings? I was an only child.
Man. I used to make up brothers and stuff, and like... friends of the family, you know how like, I don't know, Christmas time or something, they're like in the card is like, here's their school picture for whatever fucking reason. So I would take the little school pictures of like these older kids that were like friends of family that I liked and was like, this is my brother. And they were, and it'd be like, it was like the fifth grade I'd be doing this shit, and like these were kids that I've known for, you know, the second grade or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're like, no you don't. And I'm like, yeah, his name's Eric. And I'd want to like change my name. I was like, you know, yeah, my name's like Bruce, but really, I wanted to always be like a Zach or I don't know, something with a.
I was changing my name too. We talked about this
in
the last.
Or a Z, just something with a little.
Yeah, what's up with that? Children of alcoholics? Is that what it is?
I think it's just like any other thing of not being comfortable in your own skin, always thinking that something else is cool and you don't have it, so desiring it, whatever that may be, and that looks like a lot of different things.
Yeah.
It looks like a lot of different things.
Huh. I wanted to ask you this yesterday. Well, by the way, Bruce and I played a VFW in Holland, Michigan last night.
Yes, we did.
Oh.
For 26 people in a very large room with very bright lights. And
Two rows of lighting.
And
20-foot ceilings.
Scott Spielin, bless his soul, opened up the show. His gay ass.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
At the VFW.
Yeah. Which I've played this VFW before, let me promise. And I had a blast. Like, it was a full fucking room, bunch of like drinkers having a great time. You know, sometimes those are the best shows in the middle of nowhere America with these white people who are like, entertain us. We're having Miller Lights, you know? And then you could tell your little dirty jokes and everyone's laughing, having a good time, connecting with people we actually hate. It's a whole thing, right? Last night was not that. We were like, Bruce and I are dirty comics. Scott, very flamboyant, very like, you know.
Yeah.
Not as dirty as I think us, but like just a great opener. I pulled up with this great fucking lineup for this dumbass little show, and Scott goes up there and opens the show, and it got so bad that he had to ask the audience if they liked soup. Like, he was just trying to connect with them so bad.
Oh, did they like soup?
And they were this one
that
table
got them
specifically.
Going? I'm like, I fucking love a some chowder.
This woman goes, "Of course we like soup." Yeah.
Another guy raised his hand. He put his hand up and was like, I like soup.
Look at the stains on my shirt. Clearly.
He had no teeth, obviously. That's all he could fucking.
Was it you or Scott that made the bingo joke? Somebody made a bingo joke. Oh, it was you? Because that's what it felt like. It felt like we should just be yelling out numbers.
Yeah. No, it was so silent. There was a big bingo thing up there. So I'd just tell a joke. you know, punchline, huh? And then nothing. It was just like, B2. Like, what? What's going to fucking excite you? And that's what got Scott to the whole soup thing, is like, he's like trying things and like trying to engage. He said, so, you know, Holland, Michigan, what's your fucking thing here? And they're like, shoes.
Yeah, he's the like, wooden shoes.
Yeah, the wooden shoes. He's like, oh, cool. So you can get a pair and walk out of this fucking town.
It was great.
It was.
On the ride home, I was going to ask you what paint a picture of the day that you told yourself it's time to get sober.
Oh, man. I mean, there's so fucking many of them, because I tried so many different times in different ways. And then I can think of two specifically. One is when I really started taking it seriously. I woke up in a hospital again. I was hospitalized like every 2 weeks. And I woke up and my mom was sitting next to me, and she had this look of such disgust and anger. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what happened? Where am I? And she's like, I cannot believe the things that you said to those nurses. Like, ooh. Nobody to this day has repeated it. I can only fucking imagine. Probably hilarious today. Mm-hmm. But in that moment, it was horrible. Jesus. And it was just like, I did it again. You know what I mean? I just fucking... Mm. Goddamn Britney Spears, man. Whoops, whoops. And these friends of mine came in, and some members of AA came into the room, and I knew what they were doing. And I remember I turned over to my right side, mm-hmm. and I just whispered, thank God, even though I didn't fucking believe in a guy. I was just like, thank you, and turned over, and they gave me this whole speech. One of my friends, he said something that was great. I'll never forget it. He goes, look, man, you know, you've always been a Michelangelo. You've always been a real party dude, but you've turned in to a fucking rude Ralph. And we need you to get sober. We need you to get sober, Ralph, so that you can be the Leonardo leader that you were always destined to be. And I was like, you're absolutely right, dude.
Damn.
So I was willing to go into long-term treatment. And was like, I'm going to do this right. And at that point, I was like, I'm going to do everything they say. I'm going to do this AA bullshit that I had fucked around with for mm-hmm. years. I was like, I'm really going to do it. And mm-hmm. I'm going to do it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Right? Because...
But I'm still going to call the nurses an N-word.
I doubt that happened. I always said I'd never be my dad, so...
Yeah, well...
But anyway... I was like, I'm going to do this wholeheartedly. And really, it was to disprove the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going to give it my all and show that this whole thing is bullshit. And if my life isn't better, if I don't see a change, then I have my answer. And then I was going to go get like some just cheap efficiency closet apartment to hold up in. And then I was going to drink until my organs shut down. So I had about a year or two left, and then I was going to kill myself. That was the
solid plan.
And so I went into treatment. I did all the shit in treatment. I started, doing this AA thing. And all of a sudden, like, my life got better. And I started experiencing, like, real happiness and what it was like to just sit and be with yourself.
Yeah.
So it was still hard. Mm-hmm. It was still hard and difficult. But I was like, there's something here. And if I'm still remaining to be true to myself, then I know that there's truth in here that I haven't fully experienced yet. So I'm going to continue with it. But I kept relapsing. I'd get like 90 days, 4 months, and then relapse. And I just repeated this cycle for like two and a half years. Mm. Get my life kind of back together, get a place to live, car, job, get a raise, get a new title at whatever fucking nonsense job. Well, actually, I can't say the jobs were nonsense. People were very nice giving me work. And then I just burned my fucking life down, and I repeated it over and over. And after the last time, through some wild events, I was just like, enough is enough. I was done. Basically, the last time I went into treatment, I was shaking so bad. I couldn't like sign my name, but I was talking like I'm talking to both of you right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I blew a 0.52.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
So, like, wow. I had, like, and that's the level that I drank at for, like, a long time. And but the reason that I mentioned that number is not to be like, still right. pretty cool, right? is that I had a lethal amount of alcohol in me, and it was rising. So I was like, just give me another one. I'm sure it's dropped down. Your thing isn't right. And it went up. Holy so shit. I had this lethal amount, and I'm still in full withdrawal. I'm not drunk. Like, the party's over. There's no higher level to get to. Like, I beat the game and all the little side challenges and all that shit. So it was like, damn. Where else can you go with this other than death? Do you want to die? I don't want to die. So here we go. And then since that day, I haven't had a drink.
And it's been how long?
It's over 3.5 years. I'll have 4 years in July.
So you were doing stand up while you were still actively like using and drinking and like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. 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 I did it. And
So real quick, I've told a couple of people because I'm like, first of all, I've said this to Bruce a couple of times. Thank God we didn't meet when you were like actively using and shit, because I think we would have just went to jail a couple of times together and shit, because I used to be really bad, too. And I've asked a couple of comics, like, what was Bruce like when he was doing stand up and he was like a drunk? And they were like, you didn't want to really know him. Like, he was funny as fuck and, like, funny and all that shit. But, like, you didn't really want to know him. And I was like, really? And it's the same thing with, like, Mary Santora. I don't know if you've ever met her, but she's a Cleveland comic. And she's been sober now for, like, 6 years or something like that. And it's the same shit because I was like, man, I'm kind of sad I never met drunk Mary. And Alex Price looked at me and he was like, you didn't want to fucking know him. Straight up. Did you feel that way about you yourself as well?
Yeah. I mean, I was delusional. I thought,
Yeah, you thought you were the shit.
It was a party, and like this was the lifestyle I subscribed to, right? Like this was like a huge part of like my identity. This is what I wanted to have. This was me lashing out at what I thought was bullshit constructs, again, of just like destroying myself. So yeah, like, I got booked, I did shows, but like I was drunk. Like I told you when I hosted that thing and the waitress came out and looked at my bill and was like, this can't be right.
Right.
And I was like, just give me, like, don't worry about it. You know, because we did like 3 shows in one night and I had like $100-something as an MC. And they're like, what the fuck? You know? Plus there's like comp drinks. Anyway, but it got to a point where like people weren't booking me anymore, and it wasn't because I wasn't funny. It was that it was sad. They just saw destruction. Like I stepped on my own jokes. I would give punchline before that. I produced my own show in Ipsy, and it would be a shit show. You know, there were other people that were on that show that helped me like run it and produce it and book it, and they just stopped fucking with me entirely. So, yeah. Yeah, I think some people came up and they're like, you were a scary guy. Like, I liked your jokes, but I didn't want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
And that's where I was like, all these fucking comics are fake motherfuckers and all this. And they were just like, they were just protecting themselves
just
and their bodies.
Concerned about you as well as me.
Yeah.
And you smell a little bit. Right. Yeah.
I mean,
and
I was
being
just
like, I'm not the problem.
Yeah. No,
will
exactly.
You hold my microphone.
So thanks. How are you and your mom now?
My mom and I are cool. I'm cool with my mom. My mom is, my mom has her own things that she needs to deal with, and there's nothing that I can do for that.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever she chooses to make a decision, and if she needs help in seeking whatever it is she's trying to seek, I have resources to help her connect with that, but you can't force anybody to do anything.
Right.
But,
right.
I'm a mama's boy. My mom raised me, and what my mom went through to keep me alive and fed and all of that, I feel an eternal debt to her just for the shit that she put up with and sacrificed her whole life and so many other things just to give me a better chance.
We love her.
Yeah.
Oh, and I like that you can admit that you're a mama's boy. It's hard for me to admit that I'm a mama's boy.
Yeah.
Our Lord knows I am. Yeah.
I am for sure. 100%. But I mean, it was her and I for for a while there.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. Especially mm-hmm. when you're an only child.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we ain't trying to cry today.
Shout out
so.
To only children with single moms. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm single for sure.
Yeah.
That's how. Well, I don't know if I mean a couple of marriages there, a couple yeah. of white men, but you know, honorary mentions.
Just a little. I luckily never had a stepdad. Ugh, just step
I've had
cats.
Two. Step cats.
Yeah, my mom had 9 cats.
Oh wow, I've never even heard of step cats.
Step cats. they raised me. That those are my real fathers.
That's right.
They assembled together in a trench coat. Like,
yeah. They tuck me in at night.
Talk about the cats in Amazing. The cradle. All right.
That's right. Hey, there it is. The literal ones. Hey. Okay. So, do you think that being I heard this from Hannah Berner, of all people. Mm. She's a stand-up comic. She's famous. she's married to an addict, and he's sober now or whatever. I don't know what the fuck his vice was. But she stated once that she was on like a podcast, and they were talking about dating. And she was like, I highly advise you to date an addict because they know how to love and they know how to fuck.
Mm. Mm.
Do you feel like that's true?
Fucking for sure. that's without a doubt. I have the
that's facts.
The drywall receipts to prove that. But
okay. Hey, all
right. The loving thing is it's so for me it's hot and cold.
Yeah.
Because there's love, but there's also sick love. There's codependency. There's just grabbing onto somebody because it's like, don't leave me. Everything that I touch leaves me. Don't fucking leave me. And dude. I'll do anything to keep you.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of the coin, like somebody who gets sober, you know, there were people that I didn't know that loved me until I could learn to love myself. Mm. Like these people owed me nothing. They didn't fucking know me, but they, like that dude on the scooter, this guy didn't know me, and he met me at a detox center and was just fucking nice to me and talked to me like a human being and related with me. Shit that I had done, shit that I was experiencing at the time. He was like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, no shit. And he would come and pick me up from treatment and take me to meetings and buy me like a coffee and talk with me. We'd go on like walks outdoors. I'm not an outdoor guy, you know.
Got me out here
and
walking,
I'm like,
right?
I'm walking and there's like birds and shit. Birds used to give me anxiety because birds come out when the sun comes out, and that's how I knew I'd been doing cocaine too long. It was like, no. So it's this dread comes over me, and all of a sudden I'm experiencing birds and sunlight where it's like, oh, okay, like this is peaceful. And this guy like introduced me to something that simple, you know, and for me, like that's an unwavering love. That's an act of love. That's an act of kindness that this guy, he didn't fucking know me. He didn't have to do any of that. And I have like endless stories of people that did that. So in turn, I do that. I try to give that to other people as well. And then you're talking about celibacy. I took a year of celibacy, and like the first 3 months were horrible. I was working downtown Ann Arbor. So I would walk to work every day, and everybody in the fucking city was in love, making out, holding hands. Everything was fucking perfect. And
walking around with a boner.
Swear to God.
Exactly. And you'd see some people who was like, I was like, this guy? This this fucking guy is smashing right now? And it's
all
like,
day.
You know, it's so irritating. And then after like 4 or 5 months, like I didn't really notice it. And then the second half of it was just like real clarity and efficiency on learning self-love and checking motives and like not like realizing how much outside validation I had been seeking my entire life. It was like, oh, I don't need that. I don't need to act this way to hopefully manipulate somebody into loving me the way that I think that they should love me. And so that's where, you know, when I stopped fucking people and started loving myself and learning what I liked, then you come back into the game. Like, I literally came into the kitchen one day and was like, meat's back on the market, boys. You know, the year's up. And, like, was just ready to start.
That's
fucking
me, January 1st, 2025, you know, baby.
As soon as that, and
hold
I...
Hold on a second. Yeah. Hold this.
You know, some women like slid into my DMs or I hollered at some people and I kind of would meet up with these people for like coffee or whatever, a casual day hangout. And I just started realizing how the way that I had acted before with relationships with women was like, this is not what I'm seeking anymore. I'm not looking for this and I don't need it to have any type of fulfillment to make me who I think I need to be. And so as soon as the meat was on the market, it was like, yeah, I can be on the market, but like, I don't know the role I was now a, I'm trying to put it in terms. I was now a buyer instead of,
yeah,
I'm an importer, not an exporter anymore.
Right.
I wasn't just like anybody can get it. You know
what
I mean?
Right.
Yeah. It was different from there. And moving forward, like, it's been a lot more peaceful. It's been a lot healthier.
Hell yeah. Okay. So not so much codependent. More just like you're an addition to my life. And not like what's keeping me fucking going at all times or validating me.
Yes. What if I'm happy with what I'm doing and what I am putting out into the world? How if we're going to become a unit, if we're going to become a partnership, then we need to link together and be similar in our ideals and move forward together. Otherwise I've lost so much time. So I'm on a trajectory of like not necessarily sprinting to make up for time, but I'm trying to be as efficient in my use of time as I possibly can be.
Yeah.
So if you're going to fuck with that, what I have is so important to me and so real that I'm not willing to mess around and have you fuck any of that up.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Not wasting time.
I'm very inspired. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Sure.
I appreciate you. I know that's not funny, but you're
ready
dope.
For your meat to be back in the market?
2025, January 1st. I'm telling you.
I'm excited to see what happens.
I'm over this, dude.
Open up those beef curtains and ready to go.
Let's go.
Wait to see what happens on the first when you're like, yeah, I'm fucking, I'm back on. And then you're like,
I'm good, bro. Yeah. I just like shut the door.
I'm tired. I'm good.
Open it. Oh, what a beautiful. Yeah. Fuck this.
Everybody's suddenly at your door. Your milkshake that brought all the boys to the yard. And suddenly you're like,
and then you're,
I'm gay.
It's better than yours.
then you're in your robe screaming, get off my lawn.
Literally.
That's really what it's going to be.
Cup of coffee, dude. Yeah, I'm telling you what.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you. And it's also like, maybe you experienced this when you were celibate. Do you feel like pussy was just getting thrown at you a little bit when you were like, I'm good?
While I was celibate?
Yeah, like when you were like actively trying not to fuck anybody. Were people coming at you like, yo, I want to suck your dick right now?
Yeah, I mean, it was few and far between. Yeah. I mean, it happened and it would be hard, but like I also had a support network that surrounded me that like I talk with these people about what I'm working on, and like there's accountability to that.
Sure.
So for me to be like to go and follow through with that, I would have to do it all in secret. And then that makes me feel like shit. So I had to be like, hey, this is going on. What do you, my support network, think about that? And they're like, that's a dumb idea. And then we would sit and we would talk about it and relate. And then it was like, okay, I don't feel alone in this. You're right. Thank you for helping me do the right thing. Because really what I want to do, my base level, is to feed my ego. And my ego is just this idea of whatever makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love not doing the next right thing. I don't take acid, don't take mushrooms and go take your test. Like if that's the rule, I'm like, well, then I'm going to take a real high level of that drug and then go do that.
Yeah.
That's how I like to go about it. I want to feel good all the time.
Yeah.
And now I've learned to feel good at the middle, right?
Yeah.
Because use is like this. Mm-hmm. High highs, low lows, and I love both. Mm-hmm. And then you get here, and this is where life's like, this is boring.
Mm-hmm.
This is dumb.
Yeah.
And then this becomes the norm and you're like, this is comfortable. I can breathe here. And then when this starts to happen, you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then when this starts to happen, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I have to do something to change this because I want to be back here. So I don't slip far down or up anymore because I'll get fucked up. If my shoelace breaks, that'll fucking destroy me. If somebody steps on my fucking sneakers, I'll lose my mind. If somebody dies, I'm like, I have to deal with this. Little things will send me crazy down.
Yeah.
And then if I'm feeling too good, my brain kicks in and says, we're feeling good. Let's feel better.
Damn.
So when the sun's out and I'm like, whoo, I feel alive. Like you can just feel like pure oxygen running through your fucking veins. It's like, let's feel even better. Let's elevate it. And it's like, oh, let's calm down.
Let's go listen to the birds.
Yeah, yeah.
Birds are sketchy.
Let's close the drapes and put Radiohead on and level ourselves out.
Do you have a little Zen garden with the sand?
It's not that. It's this. Jody got it. It's just this little like fake fountain. It's like this big, and I put it outside, and we just put loose cigarettes by it for if anybody needs one. That's our little. There's a lighter.
That's your Zen garden. Lighter.
Yeah, that's it.
That's amazing. Yeah,
it's not even like turned on, so the fountain is. It's just this. It's what it represents. I'm like, that has flowing water. Should I plug it in? But,
don't want to get the cigs wet.
Nah, dog.
No, not the cigs.
Got to keep them dry. Not the community cigs. Yeah. Okay. Did you end up picking a mom of the week?
Mom of the week. Mother in Florida jailed for threatening an 11-year-old on TikTok who was bullying her daughter.
She had every right.
Oh, shoot.
Love it where it's like, yeah, that's part of me that's like, I liked it when the neighborhood took care of the problem as opposed to all this other stuff. But then like she was on there and just I was like, what? I looked through so many articles to see like, what was she saying? It was nothing. It was just like she was saying that her and her husband were going to come and beat this girl's ass. And she said, the funniest one, she said, tell your mama I said what's up. Because she can get it too. And then I was like, I would have liked it if she was just giving like school, like if she was like, you're a chicken butt and you got mad boogers in your nose. Or like, you smell like if a foot farted.
But no, man, she was just straight up threatening
an 11-year-old with violence. But at the same time, I get it. I was at my daughter plays water polo, and I was at a game earlier this week, and the ref made a bad call, and my daughter scored on the call, and he was like, goal doesn't count. And I felt a rage so deep and pure that I screamed to the ref, you can go fuck yourself.
Damn.
At a high school event. And damn. And then I came to and was like, Bruce, this is not an appropriate time to be acting like this. Right. And I sat down and had to like apologize to the other parents, you know. it just clicked on. I was like, that was a bad call, and that bad call you took, you hurt my daughter, and I cannot stand for that.
Need to go to that Zen garden, smoke one of those cigarettes.
Yeah, I need to pick up one of them loose cigs, dude.
One of the loosies from the fountain.
Bruce, the Adam Sandler of dads. Just fucking losing it.
Yeah, man.
Fresh kicks on, chain on.
You can go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I did. I mean, and not even like in it like a anger, direct.
Yeah, yeah.
No type of like tongue or cheek or any little. I didn't say it in a way that was almost like, somebody could interpret that as cute. It was like directly, you can go fucking fuck yourself, dude. Fuck you. I was like, oh, whoops.
Sorry,
gang. There's like teenagers hanging out there.
They're like, yeah.
I started like putting my jacket on to hide my tattoos and stuff. I was like, I need to blend in more here.
They're like, do you think her dad has a past?
Pulls out a polo.
I start curving the bill in my head.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta. Yeah. All right, man, we got to wrap this up, but thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having
me. This has been so fun. We'll have you again. We want to do repeated guests because we've got to keep them a little short, so I could talk to you for hours, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
I could turn this into a Joe Rogan episode, I swear to God, 3 hours long. But unfortunately, we got to go. But thank you again.
Short and sweet, and it was very sweet. I appreciate it. It was a pleasure meeting you.
You too.
Thanks for talking
with
me.
Where can the people find you on the internet?
Where can you find me on the internet? Instagram, at Spruce Rice. Pretty much at Spruce Rice at anything, because it sounds like Bruce Peitsch, but it's really Spruce Rice.
Spruce Rice.
I would get drunk before open mics. Well, I got drunk before anything, but I'd be really drunk at open mics and would just want to do really weird jokes. So I would sign up as Spruce Rice. So that was like an alter ego thing. So anyway, Spruce Rice on social media.
Find this motherfucker. He's funny as hell. And you can catch both of us at the Independent Comedy Club on April 27th for Heavy Flow.
Yes.
This is the man, the myth, the legend behind the name Heavy Flow. So applause to Bruce for that.
Hey.
Bree, where can the people find you on the internet?
Itchy Snitchy, Instagram, Twitter. That's it.
At johanna.madronda on Instagram and all platforms, and johannamadronda.com for tour dates and all the other bullshit. Okay, goodbye.
See you.
Good job, everybody.
Great.
Yeah.